What's up, Illini? I'm Peyton Wessner, and welcome back to ISN Now, the official podcast of Illini Sports Night. This would be the time I roll into a little preview of the show. We don't have time. There has been so much Fighting Illini news this week, so we're just going to dive right in. From departures to arrivals, the revenue sports were impacted greatly since we last talked on Tuesday. The biggest blow is basketball freshman Kofi Coburn and him declaring for the NBA draft. Playing in the NBA is a childhood dream for each and every basketball player. And you have to realize the prevalence of underclassmen dominating the draft board. Think about this. In 2000, four college seniors were lottery picks, or players selected within the first 14 picks. In 2000, Kenyon Martin, a senior at the University of Cincinnati, was the first overall pick. I didn't pick 2000 for no reason here. It was the last year a senior was selected first overall. It's 2020, folks. More recently, freshmen are the hottest prospects. The top picks in each of the last 10 years' draft have been freshmen, in fact. So, Coburn's decision is based on this understanding. Now, something you should understand is before the 2019 NBA draft, and I counted them, 84 underclassmen declared last year. 42% of those underclassmen, freshmen and sophomores mind you, returned to school after testing the waters. My point is plain and simple. Do not be surprised if Coburn returns to Champaign for a sophomore season. He is riding a wonderful freshman campaign in which he finished very strong. Think about his last game. Home against Iowa in the regular season finale, a game-winning block on ESPN's Player of the Year, Luka Garza, it's not too shabby. Now, in my conversations with Kofi while covering the team this winter, he has told me how his dream over the last 4 to 5 years was to play in the NCAA tournament. The circumstances encompassing COVID-19 stole this opportunity. Still, in my gut, I feel if the Big Ten Freshman of the Year discovers in the pre-draft process he cannot be drafted with one of the 60 picks or sign as an undrafted free agent, he'll return. As for Io DeSumo, it's a different verse and a completely different song. DeSumo, a first-team All-Big Ten honoree as voted by the media, has nothing left to prove. Nothing. He was an instrumental piece in Brad Underwood's rebuilding process, and for all intents and purposes, he helped the Fighting Illini to an NCAA tournament berth, or, in the very least, becoming a nationally recognized team again. And let's face it, it's not 2005, where two upperclassmen, Darren Williams and Luther Head, can get drafted in the first round after 3+ seasons at Assembly Hall. While DeSumo has not indicated one way or the other as of today, Fighting Illini fans, you need to know Underwood has said he will not rush or place a deadline on the stud sophomore and his NBA decision. A date you need to keep in mind, however, is June 3rd. June 3rd is the NCAA-imposed deadline for student-athletes to withdraw their name from the NBA draft process and retain their college eligibility. It is then, at the latest, we will know whether Coburn and or DeSumo return for another season and the first official NCAA tournament berth since 2013. For the first time in 5 seasons, Fighting Illini football returned to a bowl game last year, a postseason appearance. What a year it would have been if COVID-19 did not steal the NCAA tournament berth from the men's basketball team. I digress, because with the help from the transfer portal, head coach Lovie Smith continues to bolster the roster for football. Last night, Drew Dan, a 6'3" wide receiver, leaving New Mexico State, committed to the Fighting Illini. Dan picked Illinois over offers from FCS schools UT Martin, Western Illinois, and DeCoin. We all know how much Smith loves the transfer portal. On the offensive side of the ball, Josh Imatorbebe, Brandon Peters, Trayvon Sidney all joined Illinois last year from national powerhouses. Drew Dan caught 3 touchdowns in 2018. It's a career high. And when you add him to the very talented arsenal of wide receiver options, you have to be excited for him to join the mix. Then or now, once a student athlete is a Fighting Illini, just as Dan will become this upcoming football season, they are forever. And for 15 past Fighting Illini, they will forever be immortalized as a part of the 2020 Illinois Athletics Hall of Fame class. This class, led by basketball great Derek Harper and linebacking legend Kevin Hardy, have accomplished so much collegiately and professionally. Of course, each Fighting Illini has an Illinois story. So, get ready for an Hall of Fame interview medley. And there is no better way to kick it off than with the 1995 Buckus Award winner, Kevin Hardy. Hardy was such a menace, a complete menace on the defensive side of the football. And he went on to be drafted with the second overall pick in the NFL draft by the Jacksonville Jaguars. As you already know, none other than close friend, teammate, and fellow Fighting Illini, Simeon Rice, followed him in the draft at the third pick. Let's just say the 1996 NFL draft was a special one.
The thing that, Simeon, our junior year, there was talk about Simeon potentially being the first pick in the draft. That's the year Kajana Carter, I think, went first. But I remember Simeon coming to me and asking me if I was going to leave early, if I was going to stay in school. And we talked, and I told him that, the talk for me was that I was going to be, maybe a first rounder, probably, a early second round to mid second round pick. And so after speaking to my parents and kind of just, talking it over with some people, I decided that I was going to, come back to school. And when I told Simeon that, I asked him what he was doing, he says to me that he's going to do whatever I do. And I'm looking at him like, dude, you're crazy, because obviously, you got a chance to be the first pick in the draft. And his reaction to that was, he can be the first pick in the draft next year, that he wanted to come back and him and I, play together and do something special. And I don't know if that story's really been out, but, when he came back and obviously like that really, it really helped me. He got a lot of attention from opposing offenses. And so that, I was able to do, some things that, had he not been there, that I might not have been able to do. But when the draft came, when it came leading up to the draft, I had gone to the top five teams in the that had picks that year. I think it was the Jets, Jacksonville was two, Arizona was three, Baltimore and the Giants. The Giants had told me basically flat out that if I was there at five, that they were going to take me. And so obviously that made me feel like really good. And but going into the actual draft, Jacksonville was the only team that didn't bring me in for a visit. So I had assumed that they likely were going to take Simeon, because there was a lot of talk that Simeon, was going to go, to the Jacksonville. So I figured, maybe one of those other teams would get me, and I knew if I got to five that the Giants were going to take me. But obviously, when Jacksonville, when they called me, it was a big sense of relief, obviously, very exciting. But I remember doing an interview as soon as I got drafted with Mike Tirico, ESPN, right there in front of the stage. And as I'm doing it, Tagliabue comes out, the commissioner at the time, and he announces, Arizona taking Simeon. And I practically screamed in the microphone, because obviously it was super exciting, to be right there, to be part of that 2-3, it's going back to back, and both being in New York and having the careers that we had, it was really, really exciting. And then he came down off the stage and joined me right there in an interview with Tirico, and it was a really, really special moment for the both of us.
Such a great anecdote, isn't it? For Hardy and Rice to be selected back-to-back picks and then to share the moment together. It doesn't get any better than that. Though, for Michelle Barch-Hackley's moment, it came away from the volleyball court. The three-time All-American honoree may have helped Illinois to four long NCAA tournament runs, including a national championship appearance back in 2011. It was the camaraderie and rapport built with her teammates that was on display during one of the biggest moments of her personal life.
Out of everyone, I got married pretty early. We got married in 2013, so 2 years after college, and after I graduated college. And having pretty much the whole Illinois volleyball team there is really special to me, just because I've also missed a lot of weddings and family events and everything being overseas. But our wedding was actually quite a disaster because it ended up flooding the whole tent, had about a foot and a half of water inside of it. And it was just really, really cool to see everyone was just like taking command. I don't know, it's just like a sport thing. Like, everyone was like, okay, so you grab the cake, we're gonna take the cake and we're gonna go inside, we're gonna save this cake. Like, everyone taking like centerpieces and everything, and beer and wine and whatever we could find, and taking it and taking shelter with all of the things from our wedding. So it was just like a really weird but also cool experience.
Despite Champaign-Urbana being a home away from home for so many Fighting Illini, they do eventually leave. Track and field record holder Gia Lewis-Smallwood is no different. She has traded the campus confines of the University of Illinois for farm life. Listen to this.
I live in a beautiful town called Alexis, Illinois. It's just outside of Guilford. My husband is a farmer. And so when his father got to the place where he could no longer farm, he wanted to retire. So my husband came and we took over the family farm. So I live on a farm, you know, it's in rural country. So that's what I do now. I still train, so I'm still able to throw and to lift and all that stuff. I have not retired yet, so I think I'll give it another go before I retire. I have not hit a cow with a discus, but I have hit a cow with my car. My husband and I were driving one night on a country road, and there was a cow that was loose. And we saw it laughing. It was a black cow on a street that didn't have a lot of, you know, street lights, just our headlights. And by the time we saw it, it was too late, and we hit a cow. Yeah, destroyed our car. We were totally okay. But yeah, so that was a new experience, the fact that you could actually hit a cow at night on a rural road.
I know I've been fortunate enough to not even hit a deer with my car, so I can't even imagine hitting a cow. Finishing up our interview medley, the only thing this Hall of Famer can hit is game-winning buckets. A first-round NBA draft pick and 16-year NBA veteran, Derek Harper had no lack of suitors coming out of North Shore in West Palm Beach, Florida. Let's just say, out of all the blue bloods and powerhouses interested, fatigue may have kept UCLA from landing the guard.
You know, you're young and you're in this inner city more or less, and you got all these major universities interested in you. So it was a very difficult decision. I was heavily recruited by Michigan, by UNC, University of North Carolina, Illinois, of course, Florida, all the Florida schools were very, was on my trail at the time, and it was a UCLA. I'll give you a quick story about UCLA. They came down. Larry Brown was the coach at the time, and I had interviewed with Maryland, Michigan, and so many different people one day until I got to UCLA, and I was just dog tired. I mean, I was just tired of the process and literally just really tired from a long day and a long situation of being recruited, listening to different coaches make their pitch. I get to UCLA, and I'm sitting on the sofa in the projects where I grew up with my mother, and I literally looked Larry Brown in the eye and was dozing off, which after I thought about it was very embarrassing and all of that stuff, but that's how tired and how strenuous the process was. Larry Brown, I didn't add at the end that he sent me a Western Union. I'm aging myself right now. I think he sent it as soon, he probably said it as soon as he got up and walked out the house because I got it so quick. And he just expressed that he would never give me a scholarship at UCLA at that particular time. So it was a pretty bizarre moment. I think he still holds that against me.
It's always so cool to listen back to some of those stories. It's the whole purpose of this podcast, after all. Talking to Fighting Illini student athletes, whether past or present, and hearing about what they've been up to since, as well as enjoying their recollection of some of their most personal and memorable moments. It's just so great to hear. And hopefully, if everything returns to normal very soon, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony will go on as planned. It is scheduled for Friday, September 18th, if you want to put it down on your calendars. It'll be at State Farm Center. And the members of the Hall of Fame class you just heard from, as well as many more, will be recognized. Speaking of recognition, I don't need any, yet if you want to do me a favor, go ahead and go to Apple Podcasts, put in ISN Now. You could even put in my name, Peyton Wessner, P-E-Y-T-O-N-W-E-S-N-E-R, no excuses now for you. You should rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Even go over to Spotify. I told you I would make this happen. I put in the form, and we're ready to rock and roll now. You can always go to Illini Sports Night's YouTube page and listen to the podcast there. You already know what episode 3 is going to be. We threw a little audible in here, but you're still going to hear from tennis head coach Brad Dancer about what his life has been like. Think about this. It would be Big Ten conference play in men's tennis right now, and the team would have gotten even closer to the Big Ten tournament, which would have been in Bloomington, Indiana. It's crazy to think no spring sports are going on. Hey, I'm here to talk about it nonetheless. On social media, go ahead and give Illini Sports Night a follow on Twitter. You can go to @UI7ISN. If you have a Facebook, smash that like button on our page. If you want to get in touch with me, @PCWESNER, @PCWESNER is my handle. I'm always here for a chat. This chat's over, though. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you back on Tuesday, same time, same place, for ISN Now.